Hey, Steel and Nazers, it's Magic Mike here. We got a new sponsor, Slight Edge
Fitness and Performance.
If you're looking to shed those extra quarantine pounds and get stronger, or you're an athlete looking to get a slight edge on your competition, we got the gym for you. Introducing Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, conveniently located on 101 French Ave in Braintree, Mass. Nice local gym. Slight Edge is offering individual, small group, and sports performance training in a private gym setting. And once again, it's by one of the best. Craig Kelly's been doing this for years. Great program over there. Slight Edge trainers will be sure to get your heart rate up, increase strength, and help you reach your fitness goals with a customized program. Find them on Instagram using the handle Slight Edge Fit. Give them a follow, or you can visit their website, slightedgefit.com, and set up a free strategy session while you're there. All the boys are going to be going into the gym very soon, and let's all look good this summer. Feel good, be great. Let it rip.
Welcome to Steel and Naz, Maz Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast, now powered by Slight Edge Fitness and Performance. We're located in the heart of Quincy Center. Let's make it happen once again, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us tonight, 98.5, the Sports Hub, also host of the Over Under Podcast, Joe Murray comes on and talked to Pats. Now, we kind of talked about all 9-10 yards here in terms of, you know, food, just where to go to chill in Quincy, his young routes where he was actually on the radio in Quincy. And I guess, yeah. What did you guys think about the interview?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. It's awesome.
he had a lot of very good interview. He was all over the place a little bit. And,
yeah.
But
kind of wish I had studio in Marina Bay. Kind of wish.
Did he have one? Did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Anton and Joe were hitting it off. Anton's on a call with a couple crypto horses, you know, buyers. Afterwards, the boys will get into, you know, we have plenty of discussions in terms of Baylor defeating Gonzaga to win March Madness, Red Sox baseball, talk about the new Boston Strong jerseys. Jeremy Swayman, you know, former Steel and Naz guest, I think we'll get him on again, made his debut with the Bruins the other night, now playing tonight against the Washington Capitals. We'll see how he does this time around. Paul Pierce, fired by ESPN, will also have that take. We have a lot on the show for you tonight, so let's get to it. It's 98.5's Joe Murray. Joining us now, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Joe Murray. How are we doing tonight, man?
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Good. Now, there's a lot to get into tonight in terms of the sports world, but, you know, we're a Quincy-based podcast here, and I just wanted to kind of touch upon your roots. I know you're a Hyde Park native. Just, you know, give me a story, or in terms of, I don't know, have you been a local around Quincy here? What's the big thing popping around here?
So I'll tell you right now, the Fat Cat in Quincy is my spot.
Yes.
I used to have the old spot, and then the old spot I could find parking a little easier.
Yeah.
But their new spot's nice, but man, those things, they make the best buffalo chicken mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like good. It's unbelievable.
Let's just talk about this for the rest of the show.
Yeah, it's a king size, and like it's a mandatory. Like, you eat like half of it there, and then you eat like half of it tomorrow.
You can, yeah, so you can do whatever you want.
So that's massive. But yeah, I was a Hyde Park kid. So I grew up right on the Rosendale line. So if you guys know where the George Wright Golf Course is.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I grew up right on the hill. So as a kid, I was hustling golf balls. You know, me and my buddies would, you know, go looking for golf balls and just start hustling, you know, hey, like outside in the parking lot. And, you know, and I was a city kid, man. I played sports. I was a three-sport athlete in high school. I wasn't going to Hyde Park High, so I ended up going to Trinity Catholic in Newton.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, here I am, you know, 20 years ago. Like, you know, I'd kick everybody's ass. You know what I mean? I was 6'3", 300-pound football player who could post you up and, you know, strike you out throwing 90 miles per hour. You know what I mean?
So, like, it's pumping. Just,
exactly, you know, and now it's like 20 years later, I'm doing this on the radio. Like, oh, yeah, I'm like, I can do this shit. You know what I mean? So, like, when, you know, when I see, like, Jaylen Brown and all these guys bitching, it's like, dude, rub some dirt on it, you know?
Throw up.
You know, and it's funny because I you know, I'm 39, but like, I still feel like I'm a millennial, you know, but yeah, man, I love Quincy. I was actually, Mark Bertrand's, big Quincy guy.
Oh yeah. Yes.
And yep. So I bust Beatles balls because I used to host a show called The Sports Blast.
Yep.
And Beetle was my co-host.
No shit.
Before 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Huh. No way.
So, so we pitched a show together at the Sports Hub. They took him. They didn't take me. And the rest is... So I, wow. Every time I work with Beetle, I'm like, yeah, fucking big time Beetle now.
Yeah. You know? So how did that work? Did they just like, you know, Joe, you're just not good enough? Like, we only want Beetle?
Yeah, just...
So I, you know, to be completely honest with you, he was just I was green, you know. I was I had a Boston accent. I had there's a lot of things to it. I mean, he was working at WEI at the time, doing sports flashes. He had a relationship with Felger. I you know, to be honest with you, in the long run, I wasn't ready yet, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a likable dude, spoke well, he's educated, did play by play for UMass, and you know, I grinded, man, you know, to kind of tell you my story. I told you I was an athlete. I got into music. I was a failed musician. I started playing music and really? Did all the production. And I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which I think is defunct now. I'm not sure. But you guys might appreciate this. My smoking a joint in the park and what. And my teacher, who I didn't know at the time, I was shooting the shit with him. And I go, oh, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm teaching your next class. His name is John. His name is John Anik.
Oh, wow. Oh, no way.
He is now the play-by-play announcer for UFC.
Yeah. The best. Wow. That's amazing. That's unreal.
That's insane.
Yeah, and in our second day of class, I read a sports update, and he goes, "What are you doing tomorrow morning?" And he gave me a job at 1510 The Zone in Quincy, and rest is history from there. Back in 2007, wow. And now he's a, you know, a billionaire.
Oh, yeah,
millionaire.
He's a baller,
yeah.
And I'm part-time at 98.5 Sports.
He always packs the heat whenever he walks out.
Their whole thing is incredible. Yeah. Like, Rogan, DC, him, they're amazing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you guys, like, that crew, like, so you guys are a little younger, and you probably only really know, like, the Sports Hub and WEI at the time, but back in the day, 1510 The Zone had the rights to the Celtics. So do you ever hear like Max go quack, quack, quack?
Oh, wow.
It's because the signal for 1510 was on the ocean. So the best place that you can hear the audio was, you know, if you're driving an AM car, it was near the water.
Wow. Yep, there it is.
But yeah, dude, that show, they had, if you know guys like Kevin Winter works for ESPN, Ryan Russillo
works
for ESPN. Sean Grandy was like,
oh,
you know, Sean McDonough was at the station. Sean Mikey McDonough. Adams.
So everybody
in the stream today. Good voice.
Eddie Andelman.
What a name to just toss in there. Fucking
yeah. I know. And dude, like, so it's funny. All those guys were at 1510 and I was just a puppy. You know what I mean? And they all went on to, like, you know, I worked for 890 ESPN for a minute. The station, Felger was doing a show there. Kevin Winter was his producer. And, literally, the show, I got a show, and 3 weeks later, it became a salsa dancing station. to believe it or not, I'm like a grinder. I'm a guy that, like, worked at small radio stations and, like, you know, made $8, $9, $10 an hour, and then kind of where now everyone's doing a podcast now, you know? And, we want to be on the radio. And it's like, I grinded for years, man. It's, you know, I enjoyed it. And I learned a lot. But fuck that now. I'd be like, I'm just doing a podcast. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That lineup of people, though, it's like comparing, I don't know, a bunch of NBA players who used to play on the same high school team. Like, it's something crazy like
yeah,
that.
Vader is rowing the waiting. Yeah.
So funny story about Mikey Adams, we know him. He actually read on the air that he was fired. dead seriously, he was reading, he found out he got fired and he was doing a morning show and he read in the newspaper that he got canned. But like I said, that dude, if you ever been over there, that studio was amazing. I got to learn from, you know, a lot of the great guys, know all the end. I worked for Steve Sweeney. He's a local comedian. I was a producer for him. And like I said, the experience, you can't get that experience anywhere else, man. So, you know, I learned a lot from those guys.
A lot of grit there.
Yeah. A question for you. Is Dan Roach really just always that nice?
Yeah. He's,
Wow. That's incredible.
I've only met Dan a couple of times, but we interview, you know, we have him on all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, dude, you know, I'll be completely honest with you. Like, I'm not bullshitting you guys. There's no real assholes. You know, some guys are just pros, like, you know, and some guys go about their job, but like Dan Roach, nicest guy. One of the nicest guys, Tony Maserati.
He's literally my favorite on the station.
But you know, persona on the radio. You know, so like, you know, the one thing with me is I'm the same dude you meet on the street that's on the air. But you know, these guys, it's persona. You know, they've been doing it for a long time. Mike Felger is Mike Felger, but you know, Mike will, he'll give you the time of day. He'll talk to you. He might not remember your name, but you know, like I said, a lot of these dudes, Big Jim Murray, great dude. I honestly, there's not a guy at the station that like.
It's good to know.
You know, everybody in sports radio, and I, you know, I don't hate the guys at WEI or anything like that. They think there's like this thing.
There's beef.
Well,
there is a beef, isn't there?
No. How? Who? Where? How,
Jones lost Keith, and then like I feel like there was animosity there with his replacement. Maybe they're just joking.
Yeah, it's just like a media.
No, it seems almost serious at times.
See, you guys. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I thought this was all public news, but Keith got fucked. No, for real. Like Keith was a part-time co-host to Adam Jones.
Yeah, and, I loved him. The Dong Report is like was my favorite thing. Dude, coming home at 11,
dude. And no bullshit. I wanted that job. They ended up giving it to. But long story short, Keith basically was going to be the third guy with Dale and Holly. And what happened? The sports hub wouldn't make him full time, and so he went there. And then all of a sudden, they made the position full time. And they hired Nick Cattles, and it just didn't work out.
That's crazy.
That sucks.
And then I went for the gig. They hired Christian Arcand at night. It's, you know, me, I love Jones. Like, I'm the fill-in. Whenever they need somebody, I'm, you know. But I was upset at the time. But, you know, at the same time, the program director at the time was kind of like, well, you know, we needed somebody a little bit more positive with Jones.
I was like, all right,
I get it. You know what I mean? But Arcand, good dude. He's probably a good guy to have on. I know you guys work nights, so it's hard to get those dudes on. But there's no people. Like I said, Dale Arnold called me out one day. Fuck him. but I respect Dale. I respect what he does in this business. You know, like, I don't listen to Greg Hill much, but I used to. You know, I love Wiggy. I've worked with Wiggy for years. Gresh, you know, I like Gresh. Keith's my boy. Mutt is a gambling guy. You know what I mean? I used to work with him at WGAM in New Hampshire. So, like, there's no beef. It's all bullshit. But I will tell you guys this. I don't know how their ratings suck. Like, this isn't a guy that's like, you guys' ratings suck. I don't know. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just like, does. Yeah.
I don't get it. Does that many people listen to 98.5 and just don't listen to EEI? I don't get it. I want competition. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
It's interesting.
Keep you ready.
Like, in guys like the morning with freaking.
What, Dennis and Gallagher?
No, on 98.5.
Tutcher and Rich.
They win wins awards left and right. And half the time, they're not even talking sports these days. It doesn't matter. I think it's just 98.5. I mean, you know, they go over the Bruins and the Celtics and all of that. And, you know, in the afternoon shows, more Red Sox guys. But Tutcher and Rich go off on tangents that it's just literally just not sports for an hour.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. It was funny because when you guys were going to have me on tonight, I was like, oh, I hope we like really just don't do like all sport. Because like I can't do, I, you know,
yeah, you gotta,
I've been, I'm a part of the Tutcher and Rich program now. You know,
I love Tutcher and Rich. I love listening to it.
I was on today and I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I don't want to fucking talk about the Celtics and what's wrong with them and this and both. Because you know why? The owner, the general manager hasn't done anything to improve the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the same story every time.
And like the Bruins trade deadline. Like, let's be honest. Like, it's great to work on your career. Dude, I can talk sports with the best of them. But it's like, you guys are doing a podcast. It's about – all this is about is being entertaining and coming up with content.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the recipe. I'll tell you guys, when I first started, man, I was like, yeah, Joe Murray, I fucking know the, you know – they're going to go run a 4-3 defense and then watch the fucking gap here. Nobody cared. You know, all of a sudden it was like, yeah, man, I got really high. I went through a car wash the other day, you know, and that's the shit that like,
nuts.
That's the shit that people care about. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll be like, you know, that's what it's about now is being entertaining, working around sports. Like you're hanging out at the bar, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
And that's what I do now. Like when I say the Joe Show, anything goes, man. Like we're talking about food. You know what I mean? And I think that's what's entertaining these days. Like I'm worried about sports in the future and shit, especially in Boston. Like, I don't know. Are the teams going to be what they were for the last 10, 12 years? I don't think.
Definitely not. No,
yeah, it looks bleak.
I don't know if it was COVID or me like not paying attention, but like or Tom Brady leaving, but I did pay way less. Like, Patriots are must-watch TV for me for, you know, growing up. I don't remember time before Brady, and most of us don't. Yeah, and this year was the first year I was like, they're not must-watch. Like, it's Cam Newton. He sucks. He's not fun to watch.
And guys, it was way worse because everybody only cared about the Red Sox. You know what I mean? Like, dude, if the Red Sox lost the first three games of the year, we'd be like fucking panic button. Like, you know, Cora isn't the guy. He can't cheat anymore. And here they are. They win four straight. And it's like fucking back on, bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
and then they're going to lose five in a row and then everyone's off. You know, like it's the same song every single time.
Yeah, but it was all Red Sox back then. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, with the Patriots struggling, the Celtics and Bruins not winning since the 80s. You know, I will bring up some sports now. Now we have the NFL draft coming up in a couple weeks, and they're sitting at pick 15. Obviously, the 49ers traded up. You have Cam Newton in the back burner. What do you think they're going to do with the 15th pick? Because we had Jim McBride from the Globe a couple weeks ago on, and he said J.C. Horn as a corner. Yeah. And that would be, I don't know, to the Patriots faithful, I guess that would be the disappointing pick because everyone wants to see a quarterback. But what route do you kind of see them taking?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, if we're talking Patriots, like, a sexy pick's probably not going to happen, right?
Not
I
mean,
that's,
yeah.
But that dude's a good player. Like, he's a top corner. If you're going to try to move on from a J.C. Jackson whose contract's up or Stephon Gilmore, that's a guy who can plug and play. But let's not forget, you drafted Jawan Williams, you know, as a second-round pick a couple of years ago. He was supposed to be that next big, you know what I mean?
And
so
you used the second pick on Duggar as well.
Exactly. And then, you know, and then Jonathan Jones is your nickel, you know, and you're spending money with him. So here's the deal, right? If Bill Belichick's going to select somebody in the first round, let's say, and it's a defensive guy, you got to roll with it and think it's a good pick, right? Just go all the way back and maybe, I don't know, like Richard Seymour was a fucking good pick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ty Warren, Vince Wilford.
High Tower, like, all of them, yeah.
Chandler Jones, you know what I'm saying? Those guys, if he's picking a defensive player, fucking roll with it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm in.
Start clapping.
Yes.
I like the linebacker. It was a Micah Parsons from
Guys, he's a freak. He's got a little bit of, you know, he's got some issues. He's an opt-out guy. But for the most part, though, like at 15, I think everyone's expecting a quarterback. You know, what they did last year, guys, was they waited it out, right? They were going to see which one was going to be available between Winston, Dalton. It ended up being Cam Newton. Cam Newton played, did everything right. He sucked. But at the same time, guys, you know, I did post game with Big Jim last year, and every game I'm like, this guy's terrible. He's horrible. What are they doing? But, like, let's face it. The players like Cam Newton. He does the right thing. You can trust him even though he doesn't trust himself. But, you know, if we're really looking at it, I personally think Cam Newton, and Jim McBride may have said the same thing, I think Cam Newton's deserving of a full offseason. Like,
I agree.
Get a full offseason, play with the guys you have, improve players, but at the same time, like, you need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And maybe Jimmy G's plan A. Personally, the guy that I like is Justin Fields. You know,
Ohio State guy.
And I only say that because, you know, I really wanted the kid from BYU. Like, I've been on this kid for a year and a half.
Stud.
You know, and just, you know, I think Lance is going to go third to the 49ers.
Yeah,
I think it's a smoke
third,
screen.
Yeah,
I think that he could be the upside of, you know, be like the next all-star. I really do. But I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots traded back like they normally do. What I would like them to do is take someone at 15. If you want Kellen Mond, go get him. If you want Kyle Trask, go get him.
That's who I want.
You know, there's a kid named Davis Mills from Stanford that's really coming up the ranks. Mm-hmm. Fucking go get him. Be aggressive. If you identify a guy, hit your wagons to that guy and roll with it.
Are you saying that 15 or a second
round?
No one
can say shit. Yeah. I'm saying what I'm saying is take your guy at 15.
Oh wow!
But if someone's still available, fucking be aggressive. Like I think Kellen Mond is probably on their radar.
Yeah,
he played at Texas A&M. Jameis Winston, if you remember, was a Heisman Trophy winner at Florida State. Played under same coach. Mond last year was awesome, dude. They lost one game. It was to Alabama all year. Like, this guy's a 4-year star. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to compare him to Dak, but game manager plays like Cam Newton. Maybe that's a guy that they could plug and play with Cam Newton.
Back with the Wilson from BYU. I mean, you see guys like Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, Mac Jones, Alabama, Justin Fields, Ohio State. They've all played in the big games. They've all gone, you know, semifinals, championship. Now, he's at BYU. I understand that they don't really make the playoffs or anything like that. But do you think that's really a factor, what, you know, scouts are looking at in terms of he didn't really play in the big game? They don't think that's a big issue?
He played in big games. I mean, he played in Mountain West championship games. He, you know, they played Boise State in the championship. They lost to an undefeated Coastal Carolina. I mean, I know it's not Alabama, it's not the SEC, but no. those are big games, man.
Yeah,
he's had comeback wins. Here's the one thing that I identify, and I don't want to get all technical on you. The guy's got a fucking cannon of an arm.
Yeah,
and if your hands are here, he's hitting you in the hands. He's a guy that hits you in the zone. He's not like a spot thrower. Exactly. And I don't want to compare. I hate comparisons.
Yeah, that's the worst. People fucking compare Matt Jones to Brady. I was like, that's come on.
Yeah, Brett
Favre. Brett Favre had the arm strength. Sling. Could move a little bit. Wasn't afraid. The only thing I have about Wilson is, you know, he got picked on a little bit in that Coastal Carolina game. What I mean by it is, you know, like after the play, like dudes are throwing him down and shit. He's only 6'4". Like, there's some things I think he'll need to grow on a little bit.
Yeah, grow up a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
Question like for it. You, where, you know, gambling and where you have to kind of stay unbiased is, like, you know, you bet on a college game, fucking say Trey Lance just fucking blows a game for you. You lose a shitload of money. Does that affect you in your view of him kind of moving forward? Like, I don't want the fucking Patriots to draft him because he fucked me.
This motherfucker.
All right. So to answer your question, like, all right, have you guys ever heard the drop where it's like, you know, on 98.5 the Sports, no, and I freak out because I lose a bet on the air? Victor Oladipo hit a meaningless three in a playoff game to blow my fucking under.
Ugh.
The game should have never went over, ever. He hits a three at the buzzer, and I had a meltdown on air.
I've had enough. Get that guy out of here.
Well, what happened to Victor Oladipo? Fucking pulled his Achilles, tore his Achilles the next year. Fucking went down, right? And he's still. So all I'm trying to say is, yeah, there are guys that I'm like, fuck that. I won't put money on a Chicago Bears game. Like, nope.
Nope.
Yeah, fuck that.
Mine's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, mine's Carson Cody Wentz, Garbrandt in the UFC. I can't bet on Cody Garbrandt anymore. I think I had him against Dillashaw twice, and I was just beyond.
But to be honest with you guys, UFC. Oh my god, I fucking hate betting UFC now. I can't figure it out.
It's the most electric. it's the most electric betting ever.
Oh,
like,
no doubt. Like, you want to fucking rush? Absolutely. But guys, the judges are the fucking worst.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah, like, unbelievable.
Like, what are they watching? I mean, don't get me wrong. The what was the last fight? Usman, right?
Yeah.
Usman lost the fight.
You mean Azriel Adesanya?
Adesanya. Sorry.
Yeah, no, either way.
Sorry, yeah. Adesanya. Adesanya lost the fight. He lost the fight. But what the fuck were the judges thinking, man? Yeah. At the end? Like, what were you watching? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I can't trust that dude. I'm telling you, that sport, it's going to be watched. And it was great when COVID happened. They were like, fuck it, we're going out there.
Oh, yeah,
they were the ones that rose.
But I think it hurt the sport to the average better because, dude, we can't trust those judges. Like, in the NBA, we know what's going to fucking happen with Tony Brothers.
Got him by name. Got him by name.
And, dude, we call it the wrangle, the ref angle. Don't bullshit it. It's fucking real. It is fucking real.
100%.
Did you see the Celtics game last night?
I was just about to bring it up. RJ Barrett just, like, ruined everyone who bet on the Celtics.
You see that shit? You know who the ref was last night?
Tony Brothers, right?
Tony motherfucking Brothers.
Angel Hernandez, you know, behind the plate, you know, umping a game. Did you stay away from that fucking game? Did you see how bad he was?
He's the craziest one because, like, it's just there.
And they had, like, a Twitter video of literally straight up, like,
the calls he was missing, and it wasn't even close. I've never seen a poorly ref game.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. And you're just watching it. You know what I mean? Like, you can see him doing that every game.
And I'm a heavy DFS guy to go off of this UFC kind of how the refs work. The scoring in UFC DFS is even 10 times worse. Like, what's a significant strike? You get a point for that compared to a regular strike. It's even
We have a kid that calls into our show every Saturday. We take him for like 2 minutes, but I can't understand him. But he does DFC UFC every week.
Yeah.
And I hate parlays, but he's like, yeah, you know, take the parlay. And it hits, he wins, he does DFS. But no, man, I'm a bet it and stick it guy. Like, if someone's minus 200, drop a 200 to win fucking 100. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I am.
Safe bet. Oh, yeah. I'm a half-point guy, too. I'm willing to buy the half-point. I hate tying. I hate fucking pushing.
I just remember the Jorge Matt. I was back on the UFC, like, betting how it's crazy. I just remember sitting on my buddy's back porch watching the Jorge Masvidal-Ben Askren fight and seeing that knee knock out and just cash in on the dog Masvidal. That sport is one of a kind when it comes to betting.
Big under.
I'm going to hit a route. I'll do the over-unders. It's called, over-unders here, since you do the over-under podcast here. I'll start with, we're going to do all the sports teams here. So we got the Red Sox at 80.5. We just talked about they lost.
Over.
Over?
Over.
What do you think, though? Like, is that, like, they lost 3 to Baltimore. They win 3 to Tampa. I know it's early on the season. I mean, 7 games and 162-game season is a small sample size. But, you know, the starting pitching, I know Nathan Eovaldi's off to a hot start, but you think they have guys that are just going to keep on carrying?
The team should be 500.
Yeah.
They have enough guys to be 500. That's what I mean. Like there's no real analysis for me. Like, they can hit. They have a good manager. Like, they have a couple up-and-coming guys. Like, they should be above 500.
If JD Martinez is healthy, I think that's the only way they get to 500, in my opinion. I'm also a Rays fan, so.
I wouldn't have any expectations for the Red Sox guys. Like, if they win and they do it the way they're doing it, like, that's on the manager. And not to mention, like, let's face it, most of the guys are Dominican. He's got that relationship with, like, you know, right. Devers hit a fucking bomb today. Like, yep. Bogart, like, you know, he just knows how to, like, connect with these young players, man. And I think the manager is really important. We saw it a year ago. I just think he knows how to associate with these guys and knows how to really get to them.
Yeah, I agree.
My second one was the Pats. I did it today. 9 wins. I mean, obviously, there's a lot yet to play out with what's going to go on the draft, everything like that. Is Cam Newton going to be the starting quarterback or something like that? Is that – what do you think there?
I think it's right on the number, man. So the 17-game season is going to be interesting. So I think the defense is good enough. I think they need one more running back. I think Michelle will have a decent year, and I like Harris. They need one more running back. I don't know if they'll find it. I kind of want them to draft Chuba Hubbard, if you know him, from Oklahoma State.
That would be awesome.
I think he's a dude that can give him a burst.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Got hands as well.
So you know, Giovanni.
Isn't James White back as well, no?
Yeah. White's not good with Newton.
No, he's not. That was surprising.
Which sucks, you know what I mean? Like, fuck.
Yeah, but again, if you have a young quarterback, he's a hell of a checkdown guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, he's a good backup plan. So I'm going to say over, but if I was to bet it and it was 9, if it was 9.5,
ooh, God damn it.
I don't know. I'm going to say the defense is good, guys. It's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the easier, I mean, they had a really tough schedule last year playing the NFC West. I think it'll be a lot easier as you go this year. Obviously, you got TB12 coming back to Gillette, but, you know, there's a couple teams that kind of suck, like Carolina. Atlanta's never good. New Orleans is losing Drew Brees. So, you know, you get a couple opportunities to get some wins there. I'm going to go onto the hardwood here and, you know, instead of doing the Celtics boring, I don't even know how many wins they're going to have this year, but I'll do the playoff-wise. Will they make, if and I think they will they make it past the first round of the playoffs?
Ooh, well, does that 7, 8, 9, 10 count? Because they should win that.
I don't think that counts. I think once you start the
8-1, like,
will they beat Brooklyn, or could they beat Philly in a 7-game?
Yes.
No, no. Now here's,
it'd be
now here's
beautiful.
The deal.
It would be beautiful.
Here's the deal, right? If this was last year's team and we're talking, I say yeah all day.
Yeah.
Dude, did you see what happened to Tatum against the, Tatum? Listen, Tatum's not a four. He's not a four. He's not a power forward. Him and Embiid with Simmons, he's just not a good, not good.
Not a good
So I say no in that case.
Do you think this, like, Brad positionless basketball that he's tried forever, I think he's kind of given up on it a little bit. I think Evan Fournier was kind of an idea of that, you know, based kind of replace Hayward type deal. Is he a problem? Is he, you know, maybe on the way out the door? I don't think that gets talked enough because we love him and he just kind of naturally liked. But I just don't see him, like, our time is now. This is why we didn't trade for all these superstars, keeping the Tatums and the Browns. And they're
the
not
problem,
doing it.
The problem's Danny Ainge, man. He fucking let guys go. He like, think about all the talent he let go over the years between Kyrie Irving, you know, between Al Horford, you know, Gordon Hayward now moving on. Like, that's a lot of talent out the door. I mean, even Marcus Morris was good. Like, there were other players in here that were, you know, that were very good. They let them all go, and they built around this team. What we learned this year is Tatum's not an alpha, right? And it's not a slight on him. Like, the guy's 6'9". He can play, he can dribble, he can shoot, he can do everything. He's not a leader. It's not his fault, right? That's on the GM. You know, Kevin Durant's not much of a leader, right? Kawhi Leonard doesn't say a fucking word, but put Patrick Beverley on his team and he'll be a fucking bulldog.
There
you
go.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And this is all of this is on Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge didn't make trades, hasn't drafted particularly well, and here you are. You were stuck with two superstars. The coach is being left hung out to dry because he doesn't have enough depth on his team to make it work. You know, what Brad was great at was finding the fucking Wanamakers and the Evan Turners and making them good players, right? He doesn't have that anymore. He can't play because he doesn't have a
Carson
position.
Edwards, you know? Yeah.
Carson was a straight-up shooter. If he was on fucking the Dallas Mavericks, he'd average 12 points a game. But he doesn't have a position. You know what I'm saying? So it's like with the Celtics, you talk about positionless basketball. No, they need positions on that team.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think he's given that. I mean, we have Luke Kornet. I mean, I thought we were trading for more minutes for Williams. And then you know, Tristan Thompson obviously is kind of banged up a little bit, but
he played great last night.
He's back, but you still see Luke Kornet out there, and it's like, all right, why the fuck did we swap Daniel Theis for fucking Mo Wagner?
Well, dude, they wanted to get under the luxury tax.
Just is that it? Is that just a
money? Money.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah.
Okay.
But do you see what I'm saying? It's on the general manager. He flat out said they wanted to get under the luxury tax when they traded Daniel Theis.
That's stupid. Yeah, I love Mo Wagner again. Betting reasons. I followed them on that Big Ten championship.
Mo Wagner.
Valor. 2018 Big Ten. I had Michigan.
Oh, Michigan! What a beautiful thing.
Simmered down.
He's nothing like the Michigan guy I've seen. Like
he's in the NBA now.
He's an absolute scrub going
like
up and down the court.
I mean, that's
Frank Kaminsky was a god, dude.
My last one here, the over/unders, which we're gonna go to a person now. So 7.5 Tom Brady Super Bowls over/under. I think it's
an easy
one though.
I'll go over because they're loaded, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's in everyone's head, too.
That's it's fucked up what they're doing. He just got the entire team to, like, pay cut themselves.
Yeah, the entire team, dude.
Like, that's not right.
They got the whole gang back together. I think it could happen once again. Okay, so we did our over-unders. We're going to get to the food part of the segment now. Joe, what's a couple restaurants that stick out to you in the South Shore that, you know, viewers or people got to, you know, give them a shout out here?
Yeah, all right. So you're on 93, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You're going towards north and then it splits off to the Tobin. You ever been that way before?
Oh, yeah.
You get on there. Okay. There's a Kelly's roast beef. There's the Kowloon. Mm-hmm. There's Polcari's, which is essentially Pizza Regina.
You got the Saugus Hockey Town?
Wait. Polcari's is essentially Regina.
Yes. Wow. Same exact pizza.
Might have to take a road trip.
Yeah, there's a Polcari's in Woburn, too, if you want to save the trip. But yeah, you just keep going up Route 1, guys. and you want to go real North Shore. Like, people think that, like, Revere and shit's North. No, no. Like, Ipswich, right? Get some fried clams from out there, right? Go to, Rockport, man. It's fucking awesome. Gloucester.
Yeah, Gloucester's awesome. Supposed to have, like, the best oysters and shit, like, in the game.
Yep.
Like,
dude, Newburyport, Plum Island's my favorite beach. I'm sure maybe you guys have been to Salisbury before. I don't know.
I've been to Newburyport. Newburyport's a nice spot. I love that. Newburyport,
dude, that whole stretch of Newburyport, but, like, the food, it's colder. I just think that it's colder. The lobster's better. You know, and don't get me wrong. I go to the Cape. I go to Dennisport every summer, man.
Oh,
I get
a great spot. I'm a West Dennis guy.
You know, I go to the cream and cone. Yeah. Like, there's nobody.
God bless it, brother. God bless fucking, it.
You know, and like, you know, the Sunday school, dude.
Sunday,
like,
school, chocolate fraps, God. Oh.
What's the hot dog spot down there? You know that?
But like I said, dude. Exactly. Yeah, I walked that. I'm right up. That's where I stay, right there, literally.
Great
right
hot dogs.
South Shore, North Shore, man. Like, the one thing that is so weird, though, is, you know, the roast beefs, dude. Like, I never had a roast beef shop around my way. You know, we had Arby's growing up in Dedham. Dude, it's like a real thing, dude. There's like roast beef wars going on the North Shore, man.
Who's got the best?
And I'm not kidding you, dude. Like, you know, there's Nick's, and then there's Mike's, and then there's, you know, fucking Jamie.
Stealing the recipe and shit.
And like, you know, here's my thing, right? Most of them wrap it up in this, like, little, like, cookie sheet or whatever. Nope. I want mine in a fucking shell. Like, you know, a Big Mac comes in a little shell. Yeah. That's how I want mine. So my favorite spot on the North Shore is Jamie's Roast Beef. It's in Peabody. But there's so many others out there, guys. And if you're a starter, start off with Kelly's first and then work your way up.
Ease in.
That's legit what I had for lunch yesterday, Kelly's Roast
And have you guys ever been to the Kowloon?
Yes.
Yes.
I have not. Amazing. I have not broken the V-card yet.
So the reason why I pump the Kowloon is Andy's one of my best friends, but, like, dude, in the summertime, they have a drive-in with, like, a car hop. So, like, you can, like, you know, watch a movie, eat food. They're putting up a new bar out there. Like, if you want to just hang out outside, like, it's a good spot. But I know you guys will probably just hang out, like, at what, fucking Venus Pizza in Marshfield or something, Brent Rock.
What's your thoughts on Giggles and Prince Pizza over there?
So Giggles is owned by Mike Clark. That's Glenn Clark's brother.
Yeah, that's my his son is my one of my good buddies. So
we always used to have football after a football game. We play up in like Austin Prep or something. We'd go back go to Giggles.
Oh, yep. Dude. So I played Austin Prep. The coach up there just. They ran a trap on my ass every fucking play.
bastard.
They still ran that offense like up in. I guess he retired. Manganiello, I think.
Yeah, they would just have everyone run at you like it, and then like
they had the best gym out there though.
Once you would sit on the run, they would just pass, and there'd be like a million people open. I remember we let up 60 points at them.
Yeah. So when I played, they had a kid that went to BU, then they got rid of BU's program.
Yep.
And they had a couple of good, like, you know, it's funny, like, you know, we talk about talent around here. When I was growing up, Diamond Ferry was a star at Everett High School. He graduated the same year I did. BC wouldn't pick him up. He went to Syracuse. And in the last game against BC, he ran for 280 yards as a running back. He was a fucking safety for 4 years at Syracuse.
Oh, wow.
And to stick it in BC's face, to put him there. Fuck you. I grew up with Manny Del Carmen. If you remember him, we were on the same baseball team.
Yep. He used to play in the Park League and all that.
Yeah. So me too. So,
shit.
Yeah, I was a ball. Dude, I was a ball. Yeah, I played my whole life. I played with all them.
Did you ever play with the Forbeses, the Johnny and Anthony Forbes?
I played in like the sober league. There was like a bunch of like sober guys. I played in the South Shore Baseball League. So like we'd play Quincy, Hingham, we'd go up and down, we'd go all the way to the Cape. Spent like some time at Wareham down there. But that's like what we did in the summertime as kids because you know what I mean? Like I played football, but like, you know, during football camps we're playing hoops all the time. And locally it's funny because there are some really talented dudes out here and you know, the local schools aren't going to do it for you, like especially basketball. Like we watch so many guys go to like Tilton Academy or Worcester Academy and then go to like Kentucky. Like
Yeah, those Nerland, prep schools, yeah.
Nerland's Noel went to Everett High School ends up at Kentucky. He's the number one pick in the draft, you know. Shabazz Napier goes to Charlestown, and he, like, you know what I mean? Like, I mentioned all these names, but, like, this is why Boston College needs to come back. Like, we need UMass to go on a run, you know. And now it's like we're rooting for Bryant's and Hartford's of the world, and now UMass Lowell's on the fucking map, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, we actually had Craig Smith on a couple of weeks ago, and he was
Craig's Worcester Academy. I played high school ball with Stevie Haley. He was the point guard at Worcester Academy, and then was the point guard at Boston College with Jared Dudley and Jermaine Watson. I played ball with all those dudes. Yeah. But, like, that's when BC basketball was at its height.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Tyrese Rice, nice, I remember,
yeah.
Right?
He was after those dudes, yeah.
My dad went out to, lunch with his old high school coach. He was a great high school player, back in fucking the 80s or whatever. And he was like, yeah, you know, we have this, like, probably the best, you know, freshman I've ever seen at North Quincy High. And he's going to get stolen from one of these academies. But you know why he hasn't is because these AAUs are shut down because of COVID. So it's, like, allowing them to hold on to their players a little bit better right now.
Dude, there's a Quincy dude I did radio with. He played at BC, Brian Ross. You guys know him at all? Big dude, but could shoot the three. He played at BC. He went to North Quincy. I worked in radio with him at 15 Ton. But yeah, he went there. But like, that's the problem around here now, guys, is like there's local talent, but like, you know, like you guys are probably young for this, but look up the Chris Herron versus Scooney Penn days, man. Like, we all know about Chris Herron in this story.
Yeah.
But the dude was a fucking baller. You know what I mean? And like, and imagine in high school. And then Scooney Penn was 5'9", dude. Like, he went to Salem High School. You know what I mean? Like, they all went to BC. They all transferred out. One went to Ohio State. The other went to Fresno. Like, Chris Herron played UMass with Marcus Camby and beat them. It was all, dude, like, that was the heyday, man. You know?
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that today.
Literally. I know. We told Craig Smith a couple of weeks ago. I just remember the kid a couple of years ago, and he was a senior on the BC team, and his best memory was him, like, going out to lunch with, like, the team. I just don't want to hear that shit anymore.
I think that kid was fucking kidding.
Well, you know, I think that was a troll.
No, he was crying.
A guy like Craig Smith was a nice little player. He was a big. He was a big man. He's a four. You know.
Yeah, body. Absolutely.
But like, that's what Grant Williams is trying to be now. You know what I mean? And it's just unfortunate that, like, these big guys, you know, if you can't dribble and shoot the ball, dude, you're a fucking toast.
Yeah. I think, like, the Saturday night Gonzaga UCLA game. I don't know if you watched that whole thing.
I watched the whole thing.
The greatest basketball game I think I've seen in years.
Amazing.
It was literally just phenomenal basketball, like old school. Just like, they played perfect games. Like, Gonzaga doesn't turn over the ball. Obviously, they got smashed in the finals. But just, I couldn't not look away from the screen watching that game.
Yeah, and dude, UCLA lost its final four games going into the year. Like, they were the 11th seed and made it to the final four. Yeah, like, right. Think about
that's incredible.
They had to make a play-in game to get
in. Yeah, they had to win that, yeah.
Cronin, their coach, is a fucking baller. He was at Cincinnati for years. He goes there. He got ridiculed for going there.
Yeah.
Dude, all five starters for UCLA were in double figures, man. And Johnny Juzang might be a draft pick now.
He has to be.
Right? And, like, just think about it. They had nothing to lose, man. But Jalen Suggs, that kid's going to be a star.
He's unbelievable.
And I hate Drew Timmy.
I love him. He got destroyed in the I don't know. He just played like he had four fouls with like 5 minutes left, and then went into overtime, and he didn't foul out. He played unbelievable defense. I don't know.
The greatest play that like may go down in history, and nobody will ever talk about it.
That block and pass.
He took a charge on Johnny Juzang with 4 seconds left in the game.
Oh, Timmy.
With four fouls. Timmy, yep. And like, dude, think about Bill Raftery called it onions, you know?
Yeah.
But the balls on that fucking guy to take that charge. I hate him, but that was a hell of a play.
That game was just so fucking incredible. Like, the Suggs block and then taking the ball, that one-handed pass fucking to Timmy on the break, that was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
this guy's a freshman.
It was tremendous, like the UCLA resilience. I think like at least the last 10 minutes of the game, they found themselves down five, at least like on three or four separate occasions. And you're like, okay, this is when the number one undefeated team takes over and wins by 10 with the fouls and free throw shots and everything. But you see them climb back into the game, and, you know, it came down to even a second chance, you know, layup to tie the game up. And then you obviously saw Jalen Suggs at the end there, almost a half quarter to win the game.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was great. And, you know, I always liked Baylor all along. I actually didn't think they're going to win at all, but, yeah, if you look at Baylor, they got a kid, Mitchell. He looked just like Donovan Mitchell. Well,
exactly.
Didn't he? Like,
oh, 45. Yeah. The spinning image.
That kid Teague can really shoot from the outside. They had bigs, and that was the difference, man. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. Bamba, they held it all in check. But, you know, it's guys in college sports, and you guys mentioned Brad Stevens earlier. It's kind of like in college, the alpha is the coach, you know?
Yeah.
Like Mark Few's a great coach.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you can call that guy scary in practice.
You know what I mean? Yeah, God, like, is a juggernaut.
Yeah, but like Scott, that what Drew did with Baylor, though, considering the Baylor program and what's mm-hmm. happened with them and shit,
yeah,
like that's a great story. And you know, that's why I think Brad Stevens, if he, you, North Carolina was there for him. Obviously, I think Hubert was the next guy in line there, but if another job opens up, dude, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the next guy up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what he did with Butler, Christ.
Well, as you go in a sec, I just want to get two final things. Yeah. So I want your Masters winner. I know we're day one into it. And then your
match to watch at WrestleMania.
So I bet the best lefty.
Let's go.
Because I like value, guys. Like I don't
value.
I know. I'm like, oh, I'm a fucking pro better. No, like I'm not trying to do that. Yeah. Well, what I mean by it is I look for value, right? So I wanted to bet who the best lefty was, and that's Harmon right now. So that was plus 250. He's in second place. So so if that hits, I'll win 250. I took Cantlay and Reed.
Ouch.
Reed was good. I took Reed to finish in the top 10, Cantlay to finish in the top 10. I forget what it was, but and Morikawa, actually, I took him to win at plus 800. I think he's leading. Was it Spieth who's leading for the day? I forget who it was.
No, Justin Rose is minus seven. He came in late. Okay. He came in real late. Work. Spieth is minus one,
yeah.
I believe.
I'll have to check it, you after.
Yeah,
minus you know, seven. You know what? Can I tell you guys something funny? So, like, I golfed when I was a kid, like, I'd fucking pop the governor and, like, you know, the cart, and, you know, we would just drink and fucking smoke and just like bomb that. But I played when I was a kid. Nowadays, dude, I don't even want to go on the course. Like, oh fuck. Oh yeah. Let's walk and play nine. I'm like, no, how about we cart, like, and fucking drink and smoke a cigar.
Yeah,
but
man,
like I put that Tom Brady, you know, match on this year, and like that helped me sleep and take naps. I'm so out on golf now. I know people love it. And, dude, it's a great sport to bet on because you can bet live. You can bet holes. DraftKings now, you can just go right to your fucking app, and just, if you're in the right state. Obviously, you can do that. But that's what I think it's great for. But for me, man, it's a big fucking yawn. Like, oh, the Masters. Like when the Deutsche Bank, our whole station goes there, and I'm like, I'll stay back, you know? Like, hey, I think I've just had my, like, I'm over it. You know what I mean?
Give me those WrestleMania tickets.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you know what, though? When Dallas, Texas comes next year and WrestleMania comes, I'm fucking there. You know what I mean?
What's your favorite matchup of the night for
WrestleMania.
So, guys, here's the deal, right? Like, there's some real geeks, some real marks out there when it comes to wrestling. I'm a storyline guy. Like, I want to know what's next, what's going to happen. And I'm in it for the entertainment, you know. I'm upset when they give me a bullshit finish, you know. Like, and I'm friendly with them. My wife, if you guys know any of them, my wife grew up with Carmella. She's a, you know, she's a local girl from Spencer, yeah, Mass. Yeah. You know, we've met Braun Strowman. I've met every fucking wrestler. You know,
Jesus, how was that?
Dude, he's way. I'm 6'3", 350. He's way bigger than me, dude.
Yeah, monstrosity.
Yeah, he's huge, but. You know, all those dudes are cool. Titus O'Neil, coolest dude in the fucking world. He just made the Hall of Fame. you know, I'm friendly with my, I love the podcast. If you ever listen to them, 83, Eric Bischoff got in the Hall of Fame last night.
Yep.
Conrad Thompson's crushing it. But yeah, I root for the Miz. Like, he's going up against Bad Bunny. I know Bad Bunny's going to win, but like, I root for the Miz. Cause like, he's going to get shit on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
it's like, I root for that dude. I don't know. The one I'm looking forward to is, I love Randy Orton. I think he's the, like, if you ever just look at him, dude, he's just for fucking 25 years, he's still in the great shape. You know,
he looks like Randy Orton. Like 04 Randy Orton and 2020 Randy Orton are the same.
He still does, and he's still got it too.
Is that the best finisher in the game? I think it is.
So it's funny. He did the Stone Cold podcast recently. Here I am just plugging shit, right? but if you're a big fan, if you're a fan or even not, watch the Stone Cold Randy Orton podcast. They talk about what was the best finishers of all time. And they were going at it, like, which, what's better, the stunner or the RKO?
Yeah, I mean, that's the
battle.
I'm going
to tell you, I think it's the RKO because it comes out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, I agree.
It's essentially like the same type of thing, only the drop of the knees and just bouncing off the fucking mat.
There you go, right? So yeah, but yeah, I'm in the Fiend, right? Like, Bray Wyatt, I love his dad's IRS, if you remember him, Mike Rotunda.
Yep.
His brother's Bo Dallas. But, like, this dude, he can promo, man.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And the problem is they don't let him wrestle much because I don't think he's in the best of shape. but he can scrap, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so that's what I'm looking forward to. But Roman Reigns, like, he's the top dog right now. I'm glad to see Edge back. Like, he, if you guys know about his story and his neck injury.
Oh, I know.
Same with Daniel Bryan. Like, you know, Roman just came over fucking cancer, and both Edge and, you know, Bryan are, you know, so it's like, it's really that's the shit that I look at. Yeah, you know,
there's
what I mean?
Your main event. Boom, beautiful.
There you go. And I'm a Bobby Lashley guy, man. Like, if you know his story, dude, like, Bobby Lashley was like this, like, Navy SEALs fucking fighter, like, you know, did UFC, like, did all that shit. And, like, they just, you know, they never gave him a shot, and now he's got one. So I kind of hope he runs with it a little bit.
Joe, absolutely. Really appreciate you joining us tonight, and best of luck with everything going forward.
Yeah, and guys, keep plugging, man. Like, you know, I've been grinding on part time. I've been grinding on the radio since 2007. Like, dudes, hey, can I come on your pod? I'm like, yeah, man, because back then I was like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how you got to get started. You got to get other guys on here, and if I can help you guys get anybody on, if they're available, you know, let me know, man. But appreciate you guys having me on. It's been fun.
Can we come do a food review on, like, Route 1 or something? Eat some roast beef.
Oh, we'll see you at Kowloon.
Are you down for that?
If we drop your name at Kowloon, like, will we get a free appetizer?
No. Well, no. Like, the, no. Dude, that's, that's,
we got to work on that. That.
Think about it. Why would that guy ever pay for advertising? Like, you know what I mean? But
that's true. No,
if you walked into the Kowloon, be like, hey, Joe Murray came on my. I bet you Andy give you a fucking high five or something.
Oh, yeah. We'll
let you know when we come up there.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? A scorpion bowl comes your way.
Yeah, it's an outdoor bar to drive in.
Ready for war.
I'm there all summer.
Yo, seriously though, if, like, with the women, that's a, it's a nice little, hey, want to go for a little ride? You know, in Chinese.
Drive-ins.
You know? Who says no to fucking Mai Tais and scorpion bowls?
No,
you
know? No one.
No one.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, that was 98.5's Joe Murray up and down, you know, the C post here about food. You know, we've gotten on some Pat's talk. You know, he really just is a gamer. Huh, gentlemen?
Yeah. God bless the fat cat.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a Boston guy who's done 98.5. That's literally how
to grinded through South and North Shore. Gotta love it.
I found the Quincy roots, like, really fascinating in terms of, you know, naming guys like Sean McDonough, like John Anik, all those guys who, you know, became something. And the whole Beatles story, too, is hysterical because, you know, I'll say it on the live lines here. I'd rather Joe Murray Zoe instead of Beatles Zoe. I'll be the first one to say it.
I'm in
for that. I think a lot more entertaining. You'd be able to talk about a lot more subjects. But, speaking of subjects, we'll move on from that. And, you know, I think our number one Bolton here, you know, post-interview, I think has to go to former Steel and Naz guest, now starting goaltender, the Boston Bruins, Jeremy Swayman.
Swayman.
Big win the other night against the Philadelphia Flyers in his NHL debut. I believe it was 40 saves.
Yep.
Close
to a record.
Yeah, Bergeron and Marchand, you know, dominated the, you know, offensive input with
couple goals there to finish it out. Kevin Miller, you know, strong presence. But what I really saw from Swayman was the game wasn't too big for him. You could tell he has all the intangibles in terms of, like, how he kind of carries himself. Even the whole stick thing was nuts. Did you, like, notice
stick
thing?
No, and it's funny. Yeah, he's just locked in. It was great. I mean, what more can you ask for? Philly opener,
but
40?
When I watch hockey, though, you could tell who has a touch and who doesn't. And
he's got the pass.
Every single one of his like hits with the stick that wasn't like a shot to someone. I don't even think he really got one of those off. Was like right to the boards. And I think that's textbook one. I think if Jim Dunn's listening, I think he'd agree with me here that the goal is for the goaltender, on a rebound, not to allow the puck in front of the net. So every single one of his stick movements here were going towards the boards. Even a couple of them went out of play. I just thought, it was really prime time, stuff from Swayman there in terms of
the initial
debut.
I'm not sure if it was using his stick. It might have just been using his pads for the save. But one of them, he was like one pass away from getting the assist on the goal. Like it literally sent it off the boards. And then Bergeron and Marchand.
Kids just fishing.
Hey, get out
all
there,
the way from Alaska.
Hell of a debut.
Hell of a debut.
I didn't even know that. Right, he almost broke a record. That's fucking kind of
insane. I think it was two saves up. I think it was 42. God knows who it was.
He's starting tonight right now. He's up against the Caps.
He's up 3-2. He's got 27 saves.
We're knocking on wood.
29 shots. Knock on wood. Not going to give a score prediction for tonight, because you're going to be hearing this. What's today? Thursday. So Friday, the next day. Not gonna jinx anything for him. But so far so good. And I think at the end of the day, Tuukka Rask is the number one. But now that you have these guys like Vladar, Jeremy Swayman, with Halak on the COVID spectrum there, I think there's a big handing at the number two backup position here. And I don't think Cassidy or anyone from the front office is afraid to, take less money with a younger guy. And we'll see what happens. I mean, there's only a second game playing, but, I think the future is bright for Sir Jeremy Swayman.
Do you think they do some at the trade deadline? They got four goalies now. You got four goalies. You don't need four goalies.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I think Halak should be on the block, but at the end of the day, when was the last time you have ever heard of a goaltender like getting traded at the trade deadline to actually make a difference to a team? Like, if you're a team who's contending but doesn't have the goaltender, I don't think Yaroslav Halak is your answer anyways in the playoffs. You saw it last year with Tampa Bay. I mean, I know Tuukka dropped off. I know Magic's on his tear with, we want to get rid of Tuukka. But,
Tampa's pretty good.
Tampa is pretty good, but, Halak did not help himself there in that series.
It was not Halak. They were out.
They didn't play at all.
Obviously, in hockey, too, you can't blame everything on the goalie, but when Robbie Lawton's letting up half ice goals, then what else is new?
Yuck.
I'm sorry. I'm living it on my own past. I'm sorry.
you got some fucking demons, man.
Yeah, that was deep.
Shout out to Robbie. Great, deep. Great kid.
Shout out to Swayman.
Great kid.
Can't wait to have you back on.
Yeah, moving on. So Red Sox, we talked about a little bit with Joe. Dropped their first three to the Baltimore Orioles there. Win their next three. Win against Baltimore today. They're up to 4-3. I like how they are so far. We won't talk about the team as much, but these new uniforms, the Boston Strong uniforms, they're like, Boston Marathon colors. You got the
yellow baby blue.
It's just a weird baseball.
I like them. Steel, on the other hand, with his,
No, it's not even my Yankee shit. It's not even like, it's just a weird color. It doesn't look that good.
Please. I think it looks phenomenal.
I mean, they're going to wear it a couple games.
The Boston Strong ones.
You're feeding into Boston. Like, I get that. They're not, it's not a good uniform.
It literally looks like they're the Oakland Athletics.
It's a good change.
Maybe you want to be the A's.
Did you support when they wore the all black jerseys?
Absolutely not.
That's fucking gross. Abysmal.
Imagine playing an Irish pub softball in an all black jersey.
But
are we doing that this year?
Not all black.
Yeah, all black. They wore black pants too. That was just like the worst uniform I've ever seen.
That was tough.
But isn't the marathon like yellow and blue, not yellow and green?
It's the colors.
It's a light blue. It's a light blue.
The colors,
I think.
Blue on the jersey.
Oh, maybe.
If they did a blue jersey with the yellow, I'd support it more. 100%. I just think the yellow jerseys, like, I don't know. It's
stick with
personally.
Your fucking pinstripes over there.
I'm not doing fucking Yankees.
Not the pinstripes, but like almost like you do this two lines down the side of the jersey or something. Yeah. I don't know. Like the jackets you get when you actually run a marathon. None of us were over yet, but.
My mother's got it.
I don't know what that looks like. Never will either.
That's still a bucket list item for me.
Another one, which is controversial, and we got to be careful with what we say here. You know, Celtics, 34, retired in the rafters, gets fired from ESPN for having, you know, IG live of hell of time, smoking a little.
You should have let me first of all, we don't have to be careful what we said, because that's exactly what got Paul Pierce fired from a shit job anyway. Fucking ESPN's a shit job these days.
ESPN lies.
Dave Portnoy was quick to fucking tweet at him and say, "You're welcome aboard the pirate ship," which is a better move, probably. Or he can do anything.
I think that's where it goes. Pierce. I think that's the move.
The live was incredible, though. I mean, I didn't see it live, but there were like 300 people watching. He's got the strippers. He was smoking.
Let the man live.
My big thing is, though, like, how's the situation going on at home?
Does he have a wife? Because that is a big factor.
No, he has like, have a wife and kids. That's the problem.
Well, that's I didn't even know. I didn't know he had the wife. Yeah.
No, but he's going on these IG videos, and like, I love it too. He's just like, yo, man, like, I'm still me. I'm still living. Like,
big dog.
And I love that, but like, what's that situation like? Like, is it done? Like,
yeah.
It was probably done before he did it. That's probably why he's living through his midlife, you know, probably 45-year-old crisis right now.
Yeah. If you want to call that a crisis. I think Paul Pierce's stock's going to be through the roof. Sooner than you fucking think.
I agree, and I think all roads lead to
Barstool
Sports.
I don't know his wife is. Maybe she doesn't. I don't know. He's the fucking truth. He deserves the world.
I will say, though, yeah, all roads lead to Barstool, I think, because, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He can just do, like, a podcast. And, like, yeah. I mean, look at Deion Sanders. He's coaching the Jackson State football team and still doing all this content with Barstool.
Isn't PFT and Aaron Foster doing, like, a podcast about, like, drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, psychedelics
and shares. I mean, yeah.
Something weird.
Aaron Foster's a weird dude. He's
a weird guy.
I don't think Pierce is going to get in trouble when the leaked sex tape that came out last week.
Yeah, the big thing.
We don't have to get into that because it's a federal crime. But
yeah, the
when the boss is unleashing that, I think he's going to be okay with an employee with fucking strippers.
That was aggressive. We'll leave it at that. Sense, but yeah. my big thing, too, takeaway, that the big sexy pick of Paul Pierce's next move is like replacing Scal at NBC Sports Boston. As much as like everyone would love for that to happen, that's not going to happen.
No.
Like, you seen Craig Smith we had on a couple of weeks ago. The guy was loving it, like, in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like, he loved Boston. He loved his time here. But he doesn't want to live here.
No, not a fucking chance.
I think he should
Winter? Why would you deal with that?
He should go back to Inglewood, maybe get involved with, like, Craig Smith or something in the Big Three. Yeah. He's got to get out of corporate shit. If that's what you're like behind closed doors,
definitely be in the Big Three.
Get out of ESPN.
Paul Pierce would destroy the Big Three, I think, even at his age.
Last subject of the night here is Space Jam 2. Like, at what point does this trailer just be like, how bad do you want to be Michael Jordan?
Recklessly bad.
Space like, not Jam. Even better than Michael Jordan. Like, be Michael Jordan.
Space Jam
you're not.
2. Grow up.
The whole thing with Lola Bunny, like, that's the first part. I mean, you're not going to get the sex appeal you got in, you know, Space Jam 1.
Well, we shouldn't be being perverts and, like, asking for a sexier bunny anyway, but...
If we want a sexier bunny, we should get a sexier bunny.
I agree.
Bunny.
Yeah. That's going to be the one flaw of this movie. The movie looks good. It does.
I disagree.
They did the smart move. They're bringing in all the Warner Brothers trademark copyrights. That's a smart move.
There are war boys from Mad Max. I mean, like, in one of those pages.
There's fucking the night. I think the White Walkers are in it for
White
a brief
Walkers,
second.
No,
this
White
whole
Walkers,
futuristic
boys,
thing,
mask.
Though, like, you know, Michael Jordan just gets, like, attacked at, like, some, like, green and wherever he's in, Chicago or whatever, gets sucked down.
Very unrealistic.
But it was awesome. And then top it off, they're not going to have Bill Murray in that film. Bill Murray stole the show.
If Bill Murray is in Space Jam 2, I'm not a Bill Murray fan anymore.
Self-dignity.
Self-respect.
You got it.
Self-respect. He better have it.
Fuck Space Jam 2. Like, if he's in it, I still love Bill Murray.
No, I still love Bill
statement.
Murray. I just
disagree with that statement.
He's trying to collect a paycheck in the 70s.
He's trying
so
to save
not?
The day.
He's in his 70s. He doesn't need to fuck another paycheck.
Bill
he
Murray saved
not.
LeBron. I mean, he saved Jordan because he wanted to. He's a good friend.
Do it for
Maybe
the kids.
He's friends with LeBron, yeah.
Do it for the kids.
You know, Bill Murray doesn't want
you a guys will be eating your
die.
Words. I'm a team LeBron now. I'm just healing up because of the Boston's done, so I'm going all the heel places.
You know what though?
LeBron's better than Jordan. I'm saying it now.
Oh,
I'm saying it now.
I'm not even gonna debate that. What I'm gonna say is, I actually like LeBron James as a person. I think he's done well for his community and everything like that. You know, in him going over in Los Angeles in the Western Conference has made me kind of ignore him. And even though the Celtics have had a shitty year, but at the end of the day, yeah, LeBron's a bitch. No one will ever forget him. You know, you want to get traded from your hometown and go play, in Miami. That's not me. That wouldn't
such,
happen.
That's such a me move.
Just to get such a me move.
I would do that in a fucking second.
The hard thing was, as I was saying that sentence, I was just like, that's what he would do. Yeah,
it took me longer than I thought to be a LeBron fan, but that Space Jam 2 trailer actually fucking did it. I see what he's doing here. He's a couple championships away from solidifying himself. As better than Jordan.
What is he, lost 6?
Who cares?
I think the people will.
The old timers will. We're going futuristic here.
I mean,
this movie looks like it's got crypto horses in it, Anton.
Is the turn. What?
I said this movie looks like it probably has crypto horses in it. You should be into this movie.
You know, well, now I'm intrigued.
See? Yeah. But you didn't even watch the trailer, did you?
Yeah, I did. I didn't look for crypto horses.
Gonna have to get some
if this
skills.
If there's not a crypto horse, I'm gonna be rip shit by my ticket to this movie.
Well,
HBO Max, dude. Whatever, buy a ticket to that. That's
someone
nuts.
Can pay me for getting that extra $20 out of Anton, so he's gonna watch it looking for a crypto horse.
I'll be looking in the stable.
I guess we'll end on that, folks. Wanted to thank you for tuning in, as well as 98.5's Joe Murray for coming on the pod. Best of luck to everyone in our Masters Challenge this weekend. I think we got 30, 40 people going in. And, the big pot going out there.
Who'd you guys pick?
On the spot right now, it's tough to name all four, but I definitely had.
Who do you think wins, I guess I should say?
Well, Justin Rose is -7 right now. This is also Thursday recording. I don't think he's going
to
win.
Love that, because I'd fuck him. I don't want him to win.
A lot of guys are in the middle of the pack right now. Like DJ is +2. Koepka, who hasn't been the same Koepka since his knee surgery, he's +2. 100 to win 2,500 on that, by the way.
Bad bet.
That's a value bet.
I said bad bet.
Value bet.
There's no value there. It's a loser.
All right.
All right, that's all from Still a Mess. Have a great week out there, everybody. Be safe out there.